Well, it's Monday night and we're live. And nobody expected it. I told you you should expect me any night at 7 p.m. But nobody expected me on Monday night. I've deliberately picked different nights for the last 2 weeks. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 voices of faith here. And all but one or two of the crew are volunteers. We'll prove we can do a festival with volunteers. But more importantly, same message as last night. You made commitments when you thought I was going to close the cathedral, and you're not keeping them. What are you going to do about it, you might say? Well, more important, what's the Lord going to lead me to do? And I'm reminded of the Israelites in Exodus and subsequent years, the prophets who finally begin to mock Shub. Translated usually, repentance. Mocked. The prophets mocked it. An art, a self-serving art of the ritual of repentance. And I'm sure with a measure of sincerity, if nothing else, sincere desire to survive in good standing with God. But it became a mockery, a presumptuous mockery. We'll push the envelope of putting ourselves first, keeping God on trial, and then when it doesn't work and we're in trouble, and it looks like God's going to wipe us out, we'll really go into the sackcloth routine and the sacrifice routine and the ritual routine. Now, what amazes me, just before I came on live, a program from 1994 was playing where I was addressing failures among the staff who had begun to let their familiarity with the things of God put them in the position of those who were so familiar with the ark and the routines that they mistakenly touched it. It really is like the Israelites. That's why Peter said all these things were written for our example. Not easy to die daily. Not easy to fry in hell either. But hell's tomorrow and today is dying. That's the choice. I'm essentially kind of unmoved. I've come to peace in my spirit that you will finally make a decision and put yourself in the blood of Christ and stop playing church and stop using God. And it's insanity, because he that saveth his life shall lose it. But I know what you'll do when the sickness hits your home, when the tragedies come, when God lifts his blessing, when the curse settles in. Oh, then you come running to God. But some of you will cross a line that Saul crossed, a line that Esau crossed, Esau was hungry, famished, and that porridge smelled real good. And the birthright was tomorrow, and his hunger was today. I'm not talking to new people, I'm talking to my people, the congregation. I'm not talking to the congregation general, they got a problem. I let it go by, but I was frankly amazed a Sunday or two ago when asked how many had been voices of faith, and only about a third of the congregation stood. But I'm talking tonight to those that have made commitments less than a month old. And you aren't keeping them. And the same problem I've had for 20 years. When I'm here, that's when you, if you're going to be a voice of faith, you want to be in the live festival. You're not willing to come, make a commitment, and recognize that it's more important for you to be here when I'm not here than when I'm here, because when I'm here, I can carry it. I can bring the crew out and make them answer phones. The one thing that Israel perfected, Shub, surface, last resort, repentance. And God finally mocked them, told them their sacrifices and their rituals stunk. You either are the Lord's or you're not His at all. You either have recognized that you deserve to die and He died in your place, and they that live no longer live for themselves. I've been a student of revivals throughout my ministry. The great revivals that have shaken the continent, shaken Asia, shaken America, the few times that it happened, produce a people that lived at the church. Prayer meetings 6-7 days a week. Night after night. They worked all day. Every day was preparation for getting to the service that night, and it would last into the wee hours of the morning. There's something wrong with you if you don't want to be here listening to callers expressing what the ministry means to them, far away from where you are. And there's something wrong with you if you don't feel a little thrill as you work to support your family, and more importantly, to give that portion to God that's the measure of 10% of His blessing. And then come and see and actually have direct contact with the people to whom the ministry is life. Your heart's somewhere else. It's sure not in the blood of Christ, and you sure are not dying daily and coming alive to be His servant. I'm not going to waste time tonight beating you over the head. I'm just observing. You're pushing God, who will speak to my heart, just maybe one time too many. The reservations are about 150 less than they should be. Now, I got 6 voices of faith here, which is a crime. There ought to be 30. It's a holiday. No way Pastor will be here tonight. I can't believe that after these many 29 years, you think you can figure out what I'm going to do. You're not close enough to God to let Him direct you, so how in the world can you figure out what God's going to tell me to do? Now, we're going to have a festival. I'm going to do some teaching. But you better look in your heart and honestly face the question whether or not you are the Lord's, which is the definition of the church. Now get on the telephone. Well, the voices of faith have grown to 9 now. 10. That's a little better. There's some others of you out there that aren't where you should be. This half hour is going to be waking you up to the fact that I'm live tonight. And it's Monday night, and you didn't expect it. And I came, and it's sort of a remarkable that some of you that made commitments and aren't keeping them are decent enough to feel a little guilt that I caught you. What about your God consciousness that God knew about it? And have you forgotten Romans 1:18, the starting point of God's wrath is Eusebian, non-awareness, non-conscious awareness of his presence. Too many of you are just like the people that Elijah came upon. And when he came in their presence, it reminded them, and they'd say, "The Lord God of Israel liveth." These are truths I've taught you for 29 years. Elijah had the other dimension. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, in whose presence I stand. You better start practicing an awareness of his presence. And he doesn't forget the commitments you made. Now get on the telephone. You know, I picked up the messages from Dallas, near Garland, Texas. I haven't seen Dr. Scott since the 80s. I'm glad he's still there. I'm enjoying the program. Dallas, Texas. I've been watching every morning. I used to watch a long time ago when you used to wear a cowboy hat and smoke your cigar. Didn't bother me none. Where did you go? Just got you back a month ago. Brother Scott, I'm praying you whoop that devil. I like you. That's Texas. Taylor, Texas. This is the best message he's ever preached. This has strengthened me in my husband's faith. I just love him. Fort Worth, Brother Scott is very interesting. This is the first time I've watched. I didn't go to church today and turned him on. He don't cut no bones. I like that. I'll keep watching. Chandler, Texas. I'm a death row minister. I saw Dr. Scott several years ago. This is the first time I've seen him out of Dallas. I've been so blessed and enjoy this so much. I just love him. I believe the Lord stopped me to listen. I'd like a copy of the pulpit. Duncanville, Texas. I just saw Dr. Scott on Channel 27. I really, really, really appreciate him being on. I really appreciate the Hebrew and Greek teaching. The fact that he takes the time to do that is so precious. I really appreciate it. Carrollton, Texas. He's doing a good job of breaking down the word. I am understanding. Thank you, he says. Get on telephone. Okay, no more calls. I want to show you a map that to the old-timers is very familiar. It's a map of the United States, so get the camera on the whole map. Those pins represent king's houses across America. You can see how it's spread out from Los Angeles and pretty much covers the western part of the United States to get all the pins on the map that are in the Los Angeles area. Stay with the picture you had. I'll tell you if you're going to move it. Go back to the whole map. I'll tell you if you'll want it moved. Get the whole map. In fact, don't be so fancy. Go until I can see the borders of the map so that they can see it's on the wall. And it's a map. Now leave it right there. You don't have to see the lines between the states. You can probably figure out that lower right is the Florida area. The upper right's the Northeast because we had Hartford for many years. The middle is flowing out of Dallas that has always been very responsive. And then the West Coast for years carried this ministry. Though the pins cover California and Nevada and Oregon and part of Washington, 90% of those pins are from the Los Angeles and San Francisco area. And like many things that caused me to eventually make the hard choice of old guard members being moved out, is if I turn my head, I didn't have anybody whose heart was really in. They had lost their first love. And if I turned my head, something that was vital would stop. I'm sure there are people listening that can remember when it was made a goal, you need to challenge your faith. And it was made a goal for every king's house. At least 1 month. And then at least 1 month a year. And then more regularly as your faith increased. Stay on the map. I'll tell you when I want you off the map. Just look at that map. And I'm going to talk about it. You all know what I look like. You ever get talking and somebody interrupts you and you lose your line of thought? I want you to stay on the map so I don't lose my line of thought. It was the goal of everybody that cared to at least once by faith and once a year and once more than that and expand to 2 or 3 times a year. If there was a secret or a special project, they could quit waiting for God to supply the money and stretch themselves and do what I'm about to tell you as a increment toward a secret commitment. We used to put a yellow flag on the map when someone pledged $1,000 for a month. And every month it was a goal to see if we could get at least 300 out of all the givers that would pledge by faith $1,000 in a given month. At the end of every month, the flags would be taken off, and every month would start over, and we'd see the flags begin to mount until we would have a month where 300, somewhere across the United States and Canada, would have pledged $1,000 for that month. There's only less than a third of the budget. But faith grows as you stretch your faith muscles. And I started to say when you went off the map and interrupted me that there are people that are now regular givers in the ministry that give more now as God has blessed them than their entire salary. When they started giving, they made a commitment that the tithe is the Lord's and they would increase, and faith kicked in when they gave offerings beyond the tithe. And every time I came to festival, well, whether I come to festival or not, every time a pledge of $1,000 came in for the month, I still have on my left here the 2 stacks of commitments for the month. And these 2 stacks are labeled large and small. There's only 2. If we were to put on the flag for February, there'd only be 2 flags. That tells you how little things of faithfulness on the part of the staff affect the ministry. Somewhere back there, somebody decided, I wasn't saying anything about it, so they didn't have to do the work of taking the pins off the map at the end of the month and starting over. You remember that, Susan?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And there's nobody that can ever tell me that I said stop doing it. Somebody just decided I wasn't looking. And since they came to work to avoid getting in trouble, and they came to work to just get the job done and get home at the end of the day, there was no heart. You wonder why I have bled openly for these years and then finally faced the fact, let us lay aside every weight. Hebrews 12, after the 11th chapter of the Heroes of Faith. Therefore, seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. No. Seeing that these kind of pace setters, have run ahead of us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, the pattern that we ought to author our faith and finish our faith commitments. And I begin to realize that one of the weights you have to lay aside is a good thing. The devil is an angel of light, loves to come and exploit and divert and shove aside good things. And I'm only going to focus on one, love. I weakened as a leader as I began to love staff members who had fought in the trenches. And I began to realize I had to lay aside the weight of love that was dragging this ministry down. Abraham wouldn't lay aside the weight of his father and his family. And years had to be wasted at the place called Halting Haran in the Hebrew. Abraham had difficulty laying aside the weight of Ishmael. Isaac had trouble laying aside the weight of Esau. That's why Jesus says, if any man will come after me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also. I don't have children. These staff members became like spiritual sons and daughters with the same dreams and hopes that any parent has. I spent more time with them than many of you have spent with your own children. Thank God for the strength of my wife's self, who didn't have that bondage and grasped the vision and is determined we will have a staff that cares. And already some of them are being infected with the same me first tendency. I have said to my staff members at least 1,000 times, Howard Hughes got with money what God and love will not get from you. 15 years that person stood by a phone booth in Glendale at the old airport to be there in case Howard Hughes flew in. Every day he's out there at that phone booth. And Howard Hughes never called, but he was there. Bible illustrations, the mighty man who stayed in the field and fought till he had to take the fingers of his hand off of the hilt of the sword. I want that map restored. And I want those flags on the map. Here's the best illustration of how a little thing. I come here from the hectic life of study and dealing with worldwide problems. And if I see those flags, for until my wife put it over here, the map was around here, and I would come in and be so preoccupied, I wouldn't even see it. You don't respond unless the leader tells you you're that kind of sheep. I want those flags back on the map. And I want people who care to understand. That is your opportunity to drive a little yellow ribbon in that map and say to God, this month or sometime before I die, I'm going to believe God for $1,000 I can give him in a month. I'm not saying you'll get rich for doing it. I'm saying that's what faith is. It reaches out and goes beyond. We need 300 flags on that map every single month. I've watched the budget dwindle. I've watched the congregation stand still. I've watched you become Ephesus, having left your first love, gluttonously overfed, with teaching no other church in this world receives. And you've stopped stretching your faith muscles and putting God first. Now, I want some flags tonight. You better go find some fags. No, I don't want any. I'll take fags. I don't care. They can give $1,000, too. Maybe it'll help them. I want you to get out of here, Susan, and find those flags and put two of them on that map right now. I don't know where they came from.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter right now. Just stick them in that map.
Yes,
and I better see some flags every time I come here added to that map. And by midnight, the last day of the month, I don't care who has to stay here till midnight, they better be taken off and started over every month. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now you can come back to me so I can tell you to get on the telephone. Start putting some flags on that map. If you had insult to injury, there were old flags on the map that nobody even cared enough to take down. They were taken down now. I or my wife will get to all these things that Faith Center Sons of Eli have neglected or done to hamper this ministry. You would not believe the degree to which many of the old staff members we've gotten rid of became practiced liars. I'd hire an adulterer in a New York minute over a liar. And if you lie, you'll steal. God gave me Melissa because without her, who can come and check up, I simply could not divide myself in enough parts. And they were not evil people. They just became evil. This became a job. In fact, I really don't have it within me to analyze what they became. And their practiced ability to run for cover. And I want to say to the new staff people, you give way to fear and come to work trying to avoid getting in trouble, you'll end up like the old staff members. Trouble's a servant. Without trouble, you don't learn anything. Before I came in here, I dealt with one of the new people that's been doing music. Because he got in trouble with music, he's hiding back, and some other sympathetic, eager person took his post so he could sort of hide out and not get in trouble. This is war, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a crime against God. And thank God we are slowly cleaning house. The only good thing about the old guard is they gave us a good lesson, or gave me a good lesson, in the downward path, where it starts, and if catered to, where it ends. And all those old flags off the map, and I'm going to have the goal again, by the 300 will I save. These 300 can act like nobles at least once a month. This was the problem Nehemiah had, getting the nobles to step forward. If the nobles do their part, then the widow's mites will make up the difference. And it ought to be the goal, if you believe any of the promises of God, for every one of you at least one month in the year to be able to give $1,000. For the right reason. And I have one that just came in from Anaheim. There ought to be some more tonight. Get on the telephone. In fact, I'm looking down here at a second one. It just came in from Fullerton. We can put two more on the map. I want to see these highlighted like you highlight the secret pledges until I don't have to look through the messages to find them. You put them on the top when they come here. It involves you at the counting table can get in a state of zombie to where you're just shuffling paper and you don't see any difference between a sacrificial step that is moving to the front to win the battle for us and some routine message that comes from somebody who's saying, faith online, faith online, faith online. Why don't you get a string of Catholic beads and just play the beads with meaningless activity? You'll need to wake up over there and get in the battle and quit shuffling paper until you don't know the difference between one and another. You're on telephone. Okay. I got from Huntington Park, another 1,000. Can't read this one. It says 10 Sleep Washington. All right. Who?
Wyoming.
10 Sleep Wyoming? Okay. You getting this, Susan? Long Beach, 1,000. That's number 11. Glendale, 1,000, number 12. Glendale, 1,000, number 13. And Glendale, 1,000, number 14.
Yes, sir.
You got them all? You got them all? I don't care what you got on the map yet. You got it or not?
Yes, sir.
No more calls. I want to teach. You know, I'm still on Psalm 77. I have the feeling that, like the Argentine pastor that I told you about, that people hear a message and then get turned on, and then they forget it when they hear the next message. I said, get control of your eyes. First 10 verses, he mentions God 23 times, or rather 13 times. He mentions himself 23 times. The next 10 verses, he mentions God, either with pronoun or name, 25 times, and I only 3 times, and the I is used properly. He'll remember the works of the Lord. We'll remember the wonders of old that the Lord has done. And he will meditate on his work and talk of God's doings. This walk of faith is dependent upon you focusing properly. I want to go over this lament again. I cried in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I've circled all these pronouns and the line runs through the colon punctuation. So I have to say that again. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You know how easy it is to get in that state? Woe is me. And you mount up the self-pity. You focus on yourself. The glass is half empty, never half full. And you fail to recognize, I refuse to be comforted. Have you ever met anybody like that? You ever been in that sorry state? Oh, my expectations and my desires and my intentions were so high, and I'm messed up. I can't do anything right. I'm just a failure. Nobody likes me. Even God can't comfort me because I can't see God for myself. I said to somebody earlier, you carry on a homosexual relationship with your own ego. I mean, if it had a sexual instrument, you would be masturbating your ego all day. And you don't realize that's what you're doing anyway. But instead of an orgasm, your soul runs in the night. I can't stand people that are always forcing you or me to tell them they're not as bad as they project themselves to be. I refuse to be comforted. Give it a try and see if you can do it. Why are you acting the way you're acting? I can't do anything right. You're just an asshole. Did you say what I thought you said? You're just an asshole. You got your head up that place, and every word of your mouth is a replacement asshole. Well, I smell bad all the time. Well, move your head from where you got it. Now, everybody teaches the Bible the way I do. My soul refused to be comforted. Well, if all you want to look at is hemorrhoids, you ain't going to be comforted. I bet you remember this. You have to be so brutal, yeah. And, you know, I'm not there. I can't yank your head out of your ass, so you got to verbally somehow do it. I mean, you know, considering my viewpoint, where my head is, I remembered God and was troubled. You get trouble remembering God. Just think of that. When he talks about God, one of the few times, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, think about it. No, I don't want to think about it. That's your problem. You think about it too much. You think of that. And you listen to, the mercy seat is there. The spirit is lunging out. There's only one target. Those that faith in the blood of him. You haven't yet resisted unto blood, Hebrews 12 goes on to say. When were you last nailed to a cross? For things you didn't do. You're an asshole. Well, I don't want to grow. I want just to be great. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I imitated that on Sunday. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. You're a liar! Freaking liar. All you're doing is running off of the mouth. You're just coming from the asshole position. And you're talking bleep, too. I wish I could say that. Don't say I cannot speak. Say all I can speak is bleep. Get your head out of that orifice. Now, hold us, mine eyes waking. Well, you can't see much around you. And if your eyes don't reveal anything, try smelling. I have it on satellite. I can say almost anything I want. Can't do this on 56. Put a note on this tape. Don't play on 56. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Oh, yeah, I came in singing because I thought I was so great, and when I found out I wasn't, all I got is a memory of when I used to sing. You're off key. Try singing some harmony with God, the second half of this chapter. The root of most of your problem is you want a solo, and you got a bad memory. I remember the days of old. Call remembrance my song in the night. You weren't doing anything for God when you did that. You were camped out on the fringe and sucking in the nitro pills and treating God as though he created himself for you. That ain't what the Bible says. He created you for him. Yeah, I know that's what it says, but I've improved it. God has created himself for me. You're full of it. Just full of it. Full of yourself. And that's bleep. You won't even let the bleep be ferried off to Azazel so he can eat it. Come to work for me and you want me to eat it. And then you get upset and feel sorry more for yourself when I tell you, it tastes bad. Don't serve me another dish. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. That sounds like some of the bleep I have to listen to. I don't know what's the matter with me. I pray and I search. I don't know what's the matter with me. You're full of bleep and you're an asshole. Accept it and just maybe God can put a new creation in you. Well, my feelings are hurt. Your feelings got you in that hole in the first place. You like yourself too much. I commune, my spirit made diligent search. What's the matter with me? You're a no good sinner that needs to die. What's complicated about it? It's hard, but it's not complicated. Will the Lord cast off forever? Well, yeah, you know, probably. You're supposed to help him cast it off forever and let Azazel eat it. Look at the insanity of these questions. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Well, mercy for the asshole position and what comes out of it, yeah. Why don't you not flush your toilet in the morning and just sit down and contemplate it and see how much mercy you can dish out to it? Put it in your hands and hold it and say, I love you. I want to give you some mercy. Try that in the morning. You need a real dramatic object lesson. You that are on my staff feeling sorry for yourself. In fact, I'll excuse you now. Just go to the toilet. And stay in there holding your hands and say, I love you. Stir it around a little bit. This is too good for... This is too good for Azazel to eat. You know, you can listen all your life to Jerry Falwell and you won't get this. Will he be favorable no more? Save it, let it harden, and tomorrow morning with breakfast and eggs, let it take the place of, with eggs, let it take the place of sausage. Mix a little of that with the egg. Put it on a piece of toast. Will the Lord cast off forever? Well, after you take the first bite, ask that question again. You serious? I sure am. Will he be favorable no more? Go back in that restroom and hold it in your hand while we read these questions. Is his mercy clean gone forever? There's nothing clean about this. Let's just change the English words and make it a pun. Is his mercy clean? Yeah. So it is gone forever, considering what you want him to partake of. His is written in italics. Promise fail forevermore. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Go on back in the bathroom. Be gracious to that. When the rest of your family comes in, you haven't flushed the toilet, you say, "Oh, I love that! Don't touch that flusher!" Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Yeah, he doesn't like your love affair with yourself. That's what put his son on the cross. That's what barred the gates of his mercy. I cannot understand the insanity of people that dodge me and hide me, except men love darkness rather than light, or better than light, because their deeds are evil. You don't like to be around a discerning spirit that sees through your attempts to make crap chocolate-coated or sugar-coated. This art that this generation has developed of painting its black-gray, the art that this generation has developed of making excuses... Had a guy quit and abandon his job, one of the last of the old guard members. Almost a month ago. Not even decent enough to do what a rank atheist would do when he leaves a job that he's been on for 20 years to write a debriefing. Wallowing in self-pity in every contact with him. Without exception, he's made excuses. No matter what you say to him, he's made excuses. And lies? At least seven times. I'm working on it. I'm going to deliver. He wants to come and sneak the debriefing till some of his old friends here don't know what a mess he is. I don't want him back. Go find a job. I have only one decision to make as a shepherd. Can I find one glimmer of light in him that will let me go to bed at night and not worry about being killed like Eli if I let him come back to church? With the rank things that he's done, Finally, I had somebody call him today and said, "This is not rhetorical. I want an answer. For a solid month, every contact with you, you've given excuses and defenses. So you must think that you've been wronged and that we've done something wrong to you. You swore you wouldn't quit the way you did, and you did. So I want the truth. What is it that you think that you have been wronged? Because a defense comes only from a state of mind that I am right and I've been wronged. Tell me, like Samuel, one thing that's been done wrong to you." And finally, when cornered, he said, "There isn't. All I've done is wallow in self-pity, and all I've done my whole life is try to preserve myself at everybody else's expense." You may say, "Is that enough?" No. He had to be cornered to say it. I'm not amused. I'm not affected. I've never gotten on to anybody in my life. The minute I see honest, self-facing, the blowtorch stops in mid-sentence. "I'm your shepherd, and it's my business to not let you stand in my presence and lie yourself into hell." You're an asshole. "And I said, and I didn't say this Sunday," because he just stops in dead sentence, "but this is the most brilliant thing this man Asaph has said up to this point. This is my sickness. And it took this to recognize the years of the right hand of the Most High, who, like he did with the Israelites, if you make a commitment to God, he's going to keep putting you in a position where you finally break and recognize you got to die. You can't transfer the business of self-service on the other side of the street and offer your talent and your sacrifice as long as you don't have to face yourself and at the foot of the cross say, 'I put him there. And I can't kill this man overnight. He died in a day. But I'm going to die daily and face this old man down until I'm delivered from the bondage of self-preservation.' You better think about it. Now get on the telephone." The biggest problem this generation has is taking correction. They have to be flattered. Flattered and praised. And you want to follow somebody that will help you keep the old man alive. Face yourself. It's what you really want. You want somebody that will soothe your feelings and apply balm to your wounded self. Go find another church. Don't call him more. Here's two more. San Jose and Burbank. That's 19. I want you to watch. That's 17 new pledges tonight because we directed attention to it. That's what somebody deciding they could substitute their judgment for the pastor and cut their work a little bit. To them, it was work, flags on the map. It wasn't a meaningful thing like those who raised the flag on that island that have become an immortal image in a statue in our capital. It wasn't like the spirit of the one who wrote our national anthem. Those flags are put in the devil's face, but not to those that have lost their first love and are just treating this like a job, and if I turn my head, they don't have to do it. And then they wonder, as I watch them crucify my Lord afresh, why I get mad about it. Oh, I know you meant well. That's a lie! They didn't mean well. What kind of pastor would you have that tells you, I know you meant well, but the workload too heavy, you cry uncle. How many times you heard me say, in 29 years, pride has kept anybody from crying uncle. I'm not impressed. Not impressed at all. I said, 10th verse, this is my infirmity, the years of the right hand of the Most High. Oh, I can't possibly believe that God sent me here when I made my commitment to work to get a little help in dying daily. I can't possibly believe that these are the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Okay? Just do that. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. You make your reservations for the cathedral? I will talk of thy way. I'll get on the phone. And thy way is for me to get my butt down there and be a part of what God has called me to do. I'll get up that hill and hold up Moses' arms. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. He beat the crap out of them. I mean, I've been reading Heller's perspective through David in a novel because you need to see that. But that's the way we really think most of the time. He redeemed them out of Egypt, brought them to a Red Sea and put them in the catch 22 with the Egyptians behind and the Red Sea in front, no boats. You need to meditate on his doings, his path of redemption. You know, we love to put our own twist on redemption. Thou hast redeemed thy people, so be good to me, God. Don't let me have to face faith or death. Okay, he delivered them. And when he killed those Egyptians and knocked the wheels off of their wagons and really did them in. Man, they had a big dance. 3 days later, he led them to a place and had no water. Bring us out here to die of thirst? Whoopee! The man of God provides water. Yeah, get bitter. And then God lets us in on a secret in Deuteronomy. He led them in the wilderness to see what they were made of. See how they react to the pressure. Find what was in their heart. And what's in their hearts? The first 10 verses, usually. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. He sweetened the waters. And you know, he's sort of a... I could write a book if I wanted to, like Heller. God's a sadist. And he's a real sadist. He's a word. A word master. He's a wordsmith. Go to Rephidim. Oh, boy. See, they understood the language. And then he's even worse. He wouldn't talk to them directly. He talked to them through his leader. And dumb Moses, trying to keep from taking the job, got his dumb brother appointed. So God tells Moses, Moses tells Aaron, Aaron tells the people. Hear ye, hear ye. We're going to Rephidim. Place of rest. I thought I died and went to heaven when my application was accepted. And I come to the studio and I'm in heaven. I get to work for God. Rephidim. And get paid for Rephidim. There's a bunch of them back there. They're kids. This is their first job. Oh, boy. I mean, other kids their age are trying to find a job. Nobody wants them. I remember the first job I got as a kid was stacking cans in a grocery store. And I learned that lesson, never had it again. I got appointed boss to every other job I took because I learned the lesson. Didn't have to tell me twice. I was putting the cans on the lower shelf of the grocery store. And it seemed to me, I was moving my hand pretty fast, that I could get to the shelf easier sitting on my butt. So I sat down, fan, I got fired for sitting down, putting the cans on the lower. I had to go home and tell my dad I was fired. First job, he got it for me. I'm putting the cans on the shelf. I'd line them up pretty neatly, I thought. The boss saw me sitting down doing it. I'm going to tell you, I never sat down on a job the rest of my life that was a job that involved manual activity. I got kids back here. They've come to Rephidim. And I'm like, God, I told them it'd be hard. God tricked them. I will talk of thy ways. You ought to talk of God's ways. You've listened to me most of your life. Talk of God's ways, and you will think how kind I and Mrs. Scott are to you. I tell you, you're going to hell. I don't mean literally. I say, come to God and all hell break loose. But then I go home and tell my parents, and they braid my hair, and I'm serving God now, and I'm going to Rephidim this morning. Then they get their dim reft. Well, the reft dimmed. They get there, there's not a shred of water, there ain't a bed to lay down on, there's dirt, cactus, and rocks. And God found out what was in them. They squalled like a stuck pig. And God says, gather them to the rock. And even there, he was using their sinful activity to remind his son, that's who and that's the kind you're redeeming. And you got to be smitten to do it. And he smote the rock. And the water poured forth. Hoopy doodah day. Hoopy doodah day. I will meditate also of all thy work. Try it. I'll talk of thy doings and thy ways. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. This is the way he did it. Phew! Man, there's so much water coming out of the rock, and I only drink, just pour it over your head in that hot desert air. And you hear the thundering sound of the approaching Amalekites, or Amalekites. And their motives are declared. They have one goal. There's no negotiating. There's no peace treaty. There's no reasoning. They came to annihilate. Rephidim. Does God know how to spell the word place of rest? Amalekites on the way to annihilate. And God didn't wipe them out. They had to fight. They were dependent upon Moses' arms in the air. He couldn't do it without the leader. And he couldn't hold his arms up without Aaron and her going up that hill to hold them up for him. That's what you're called to. So quit your whining and quit being an asshole. What an opportunity to be Aaron and her. Oh, I'll think on it and I'll talk on. Thou hast redeemed thy people. The sons of Jacob? Oh, he was real good to them. He baited them. He put them first in a famine so they're going to starve, and then he got a message that they could go down to Egypt and there was food down there. And when they got down there, they're hardly there 40 years before they were taken into slavery. And that was God's doing. They have to go down there and become slaves because Abraham couldn't believe God's promise. So their silly old granddad asked God to give him something that would convince him that the promises were true, and these poor people are down there in slavery in order to prove up Abram's doubts. There's something else. To have a historic record laid down of proof of what God said until when he did call them out in the fourth generation, only a moronic squirrel would not believe that when God said they're returning to the same place, they would get there. You Johnny-come-latelys on this staff were not here 29 years ago when every single day we thought this church would go under. When people had to sign an agreement to be paid only as the Lord provided. And when people had to bring their offerings on Friday by hand or we wouldn't make it through the weekend. You weren't here when your pastor faced contempt of court for not turning over the records of the congregation's giving. And when you go to jail for contempt of court, you can stay there for life because you hold the key to let yourself out. Just do what the judge says. And I said, over my dead body. You weren't here when in the sleet and the snow, we stood behind a glass door in Hartford, Connecticut. And I took communion saying if that sheriff who came through that door, it would be over my dead body. You weren't here, you Johnny-come-lately snot-nosed kids that are crying around and running around in fear and can't take a balling out from my wife. You weren't here. Some of you weren't even born when that sheriff came. Thousands of people, men, women, and children, were laying in the sleet and the rain on the street outside that studio on a silent street in Hartford, Connecticut, until the sheriff couldn't walk over them. And he went out and arrested a poor transmitter man with sugar diabetes and cited him with criminal contempt and trespass. You weren't here. And you come in here to reap the harvest and to be able to move forward in a new generation when the world is listening and I read the messages of the impact and you wallow in your snot and feel sorry for yourself and hover in fear for fear you'll get in trouble. How else are you going to learn? And the congregation sits out there fattened on the word without the guts to even commit yourself to be a volunteer. You make me sick. I will meditate on the ways of the Lord. And Joseph, God sent a man to Egypt. How does your lament, and you shooting yourself in your foot, compare to being sold into slavery by your brethren, marching in chains from Canaan to Egypt, lied on and betrayed for being a faithful servant in Potiphar's house, and wasting away in prison until, as the scripture says, iron came into his soul. And he could then be the redeemer in Egypt. You need some heat to process you into iron. And I don't need a bunch of quivering reeds here. Basking in the glory that you are part of the staff of this ministry that's been raised up to follow me as I follow Christ. The waters saw thee, were afraid. The depths were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. You know, that's quite a difference between Grandfather God, who is constantly wiping our tears and snot away. You better understand who it is you serve. Get out of yourself and get into God. Put off the old man. And put on the new man. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This church better understand, you were brought here, and I and Melissa are leading you through the promised land, which is the land of faith, to life eternal. And get out of yourself, including putting these flags on the map. Now get on the telephone.